A big hello to all of our listeners, wherever you may be and whatever your circumstances may be. We have what I hope will be for you a meaningful conversation this morning. I'm Rob Christie. I've been involved in the growth and transformation movement for decades. And during that wonderful journey, I've encountered a number of very powerful teachers. And I'm with one of them this morning. His name is Jim Hamilton. He's my dear friend. He's a published author. And most importantly to you, he's come up with several technologies which have been proven to support anyone who will commit to doing them and has a sincere desire to make some meaningful change in his or her life. Jim and I have been talking a lot about the concept of allowing, what that means, and you know how it fits into a person's life and the business of making choices, for that matter. Jim, take us down that road. You know, what is allowing and why is it important?
You know, Rob, again, a great pleasure to spend time with you. And as I like to say, allow the audience to listen in on our conversations. One of the things that occurs to me, and I'll call this secondhand knowledge. In Fairfield, Iowa, where Maharishi University is and was, and there's a lot of students who meditated hours a day. And somehow, and I'm not saying this is what the school taught, but through meditating hours and hours and hours a day, they thought they were going to get there. They thought that they were going to achieve some kind of consciousness. And of course, all the stories of the past thousands of years of people living in caves, you know, gurus living in caves and meditating for 24 hours or 23 hours a day and on and on. But the story that I heard from somebody that lived in Fairfield was a lot of these students, in meditating so much, they became ungrounded. They thought meditation was what they needed, and they meditated and they meditated and they meditated, and they kind of got out of sight and out of sync with being on the planet. And so what this gentleman who I worked with for a while, this has probably been 4, 5, 6 years ago, suggested that, or as I came to conclude, that meditation alone isn't the answer. And while I have coming up on 50 years meditation background, I always tied meditation with affirmations. In other words, I had a very active, dynamic life of driving for what I wanted, which became my 40-foot sailboat. You know, I put the deposit on it when I was still 25, no family money, no family education, no nothing. I started out with a book called The Lazy Man's Way to Riches by Joe Carbo and came to understand harnessing the subconscious mind and goal setting. And then I later added meditation when I was 23 and retired at 40 with a 40-foot sailboat, retired at 30 with a 40-foot sailboat. But what happened was I was very dynamically involved in my life, for which meditation played a really important part. And my point is that I think allowing isn't necessarily quite what we think it is. And if we don't have this dynamic component that I now call choice points, I think we're missing the boat, so to speak. And you don't allow in front of a city bus. Doesn't work. Don't allow in front of a moving city bus. Not a good idea. We'll be a little bit more involved in our lives than that.
I want it to be clear Jim, to the audience that you are in no way diminishing the potential benefits to a person who meditates. What you are instead suggesting is that it is a piece of a larger puzzle. How did meditation support you in being dynamically involved in your life and not simply going off in a cave, as you would say?
Well, so of course you're perfectly right. Meditation is a part of life. It is not life. It is not. There'll always be stories. I have a buddy who is a martial arts expert, blew out his knees, ended up with a healing center on the top of the penthouse floor of the BMW building in Frankfurt, Germany. He said he spent a number of years after blowing out his knees in meditation in a cave somewhere. I assume that's a true story because he's a pretty interesting guy. But I think what meditation in part is about, and in big part is about, is the introduction of you to you. Something you'll never get when you're carousing around with your friends and out cocktailing each other and making sure you can back out of the parking spot and get all the way home without crashing into anything, because that was one of my ego trips a long time ago. But meditation is an introspective journey that we all must take. But I think it's fair to say I would never meditate and just meditate and just meditate. I don't think there's anything good about that. Now, you might be the exception to that, and that's great. But meditation introduced me to me. Meditation gave me that inner quietude that allowed insights and intuition to come to me in a much more useful manner. And what meditation really does is quiet the, what do some people call it, the mind monkey? That's not quite the expression, but the monkey mind.
The monkey mind.
Yeah. And so it's a part meditation. I would suggest meditation over university, because all you're going to do is, as Jimmy Buffett says, you learn how to get laid in college, and you drink to your heart's content, but it's 4 years of growing up is really what happens in school. And most people aren't what they go to school for. Few are, I think. And because you're not old enough to know what the hell you want to be when you go to college at 18. And so my point is meditation is a crucial aspect of coming to understand your very nature, because we don't get that. You're not going to get that from school. You're not going to get that from medicine. You're not going to get that from anywhere but the study of yourself, which is an inward journey. And as you do that, actually the world opens up, because intuitive insight and on and on and on start to become available as we quiet down internally. Actually, our connection with source becomes evident and available and identifiable. And myself, I was big into goal setting when I was young. It was combined. Now, when I meditated, I wasn't doing my goals. I was meditating. But the part of my life was about my goals. A part of my life was about, I actually did self-hypnosis for years. I started self-hypnosis in 76. I remember the little tiny green receipt from learning self-hypnosis, 1976. So I was powering up, learning how to understand, harnessing the subconscious mind and this and that. And meditation ran alongside of that. And that's what these kids at, and I'm not picking on Maharishi International University, any of that, because anything Maharishi did was incredible. It's the way some people interpret things and they go off on a tangent, and that's all great. But we need to find balance in all of this. And the first thing we need to do is learn how to make choice points and feel what those choice points are delivering. And so meditation is the beginning of that process of learning how to quiet down internally. And we have to do that. But you did not at the expense of everything else. Zero on that.
So meditation is one avenue or a part of the process that allows one to know that it's time in one's life to make a choice of some sort. Is that an accurate statement of what you're sharing with us, Jim?
Well, if what I understand what you're saying is making the choice to learn how to meditate, that's a big, to delve within, that's a big choice. And the sooner you make it in your life, the better. There's lots of people that are 50 that finally learn about the concept of meditation, and they have, quote unquote, the misfortune of not having started meditating when they were 20. And of course, the only thing more interesting in all that is being the second generation meditator, where your parents and your family before you meditated. So it comes to you more naturally, and it's included in your life and introduced to your life earlier on with less hubbub. And I did it. I learned how to meditate when I was feeling a lot of angst. I had moved away from a girlfriend who I eventually married and went off and did some other things, and I really kind of strained myself. And I heard commercials, maybe on the radio, extolling the virtues of TM, and showed up with $60 and an apple, got a mantra, and I meditated twice a day for 10 years without fail, and only America's Cup in 83. I took 5-6 months off and then went back to meditating. And it's always been the whole concept of a quieted nervous system. It's essential. So you make that choice. And some people are better at making that choice. And then there's the discipline of actually doing the meditation. Because if you don't actually, I think the discipline of meditation is equal to the meditation itself, frankly.
Meditation is, as I understand what you're sharing with us, is one piece of the puzzle involved in quieting the mind. Are there other pieces or other ways to do it?
Well, of course, my technologies, but that's really kind of, I say, advanced stuff. Core resonance in particular. So what goes on is we all start out in overload. You might even say, I personally don't believe in reincarnation. I believe we come in pure, but we absorb our surroundings, and karma is what we absorb when we come in, whether we show up on a palace or show up in a slum or show up in a middle-class neighborhood with parents who maybe disagree more than they should, or maybe one of them does a little too much drinking, but we absorb that when we're young. And so we start out with a lot of misfit ideas, you might say, just because of this, the human species is generally speaking quite dysfunctional. You'll find some cultures are more orderly, but generally speaking, humans are pretty dysfunctional. And when you come in, you absorb all of that. And so you start out in overload because you start out with a lot of misinformation, dysfunctional information or dissonant information. You're not taught about plugging into the frequency of God from the get-go. Plants and trees and bumblebees are all taught that from the get-go about their connection with source. Humans are not. So we all end up in overload relatively quickly, because the brain attempts to process the world, and when we're plugged into source or God or whatever you want to call it, guidance is naturally there. And so if we don't have access to guidance naturally, again, like the bumblebee and the trees and the plants and the orcas who are crashing into sailboats, I don't know if you've read that, the orcas are fighting back. They're starting to trash sailboats off the Straits of Gibraltar over there. So overload is what increases the human condition. When we're in overload, our ability to take on new information is really limited. Why? Because we're in overload. We can't add more stuff, even if it's good stuff. We're in overload, got too much dissonant information rolling around. Now, core resonance is interesting because I come from a background, and not only almost 50 years background in meditation, but now since 2006, 2007, for 2023, so that's 7 or 8 years background in meditation now, for which I've done about 400 sessions. There's not that many people on the planet that I've done. And this, I developed my own gear, and I retranslated how neurofeedback is done altogether. And I've learned how to quiet the nervous system like meditation, but much more quickly so. And there's no programming in my work. That's called core resonance. And properly, it's designed to be owned and shared by six people. That's what a colony is. I might add that a lifetime of meditation will only achieve so much. And core resonance, again, there's no programming in the work. We let the brain discover itself through the hardware software. We let the brain, in discovering itself, the brain reorganizes itself and the brain quiets down. And the brain, using the technology like a mirror, cleans itself up. And so the efficiency of the brain jumps immensely. Held traumas processed, because now the brain has horsepower to process old held trauma, and on and on. And as the brain quiets down, which is to say as the nervous system quiets down, because the brain and the nervous system are all one mechanism, our natural state of connection with source becomes enabled. Because when you quiet the nervous system, which is what we're trying to do or doing with meditation over a period of years and years and years and years, we can do that so much quicker. We can enable our, as we quiet the nervous system, we enable our natural state of connection with source. And so with core resonance, we can do this much more quickly. And in doing so, as this connection becomes enabled, the mind will naturally relent to this connection. Now, the big thing that happens when you do this, as we quiet the nervous system and enable this natural state of connection with source, innate intelligence peaks out of our nervous system, or pours out of our nervous system, depending on how much allowing we've come to achieve. And as a meditator, or as a colony, six people sharing the ownership of core resonance, we become a portal for innate intelligence expressing through us into this dimension. Because you see, when you move out of the mind, your natural state of connection with source becomes enabled. So it's not really a trick question, but that you asked me. But meditation is a crucial component of coming to learn about yourself and ultimately your connection with source. Because I will say, in my early years of meditating, let's say 4 or 5 years, and maybe 2 or 3 possibly, I began to realize that in meditation, when you move out of your mind, it's like your nervous system. You realize your nervous system is constantly sensing. And so it turns out meditation is the act of learning how to listen with your nervous system, which is a mindless activity. And it's when you become mindless that the whole frequency of God things start to show up, because frankly, mind keeps you from your connection. You learn how to let the mind go and your connection will become enabled. And then learning how to maintain that is part of the game. But as you move out of the mind, that whole thing opens up. And yes, I have technologies around that, a couple of different ones. But ultimately, in quieting the nervous system and meditation, we move toward guidance. And as we move toward guidance, we make better choices. As we make better choices, allowing becomes easier.
If one of our listeners would like to explore core resonance or anything else you've shared this morning with you, how do they go about doing that?
Well, my main website is Core Resonance, CoreResonance, coreresonance.com, which, by the way, the word core is an acronym. Oh, acronyms, right? CO is for coherence and RE is for resonance. But so coreresonance.com is my primary website. And you can contact me at coreresidence.com/contact. Be happy to talk to anybody by Zoom for 30 minutes and so you can make an appointment. I also have a website that is a subset of Core Resonance, and it's called Visionaries Lab. And Visionaries Lab is kind of my new technologies. I kind of went way up in the stratosphere with Core Resonance, because Core Resonance can end in ascension. The ascension process is there because you learn how to become partnered with Source and blended with Source, move out of the mind altogether. The scale of the possibility is endless. Let's just put it that way. And that would just be a beginning statement. But in taking this thing so very far, and it's all guided work. It's all, you know, I'm blended with Source. I will say that day in and day out. But I've circled back to my original work. And so Visionaries Lab was my original website. And so now I'm offering Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity and Guidance Light. Now, Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity and Guidance Light is a little bit different, because we're using the mind as a tool to its best advantage. Which is to say, once you come to access presence and understand presence, you realize the mind is actually a poor tool. It's not supposed to be there in the first place. But because we're out of our natural state of connection with Source, out of our actual state of connection with guidance, the mind takes on the function, the ego, the survival mechanism of trying to run this machinery or this organism without its natural state of connection. And so the mind takes on that function. And what I've learned how to do, and it's part and parcel of what I've done, is we can learn how to saturate the mind with a particular type of affirmation, which we've touched on repeatedly in some of our earlier conversations. But the long story short, we can make our affirmation about our connection with Source, and we can saturate the mind with the concept of first and foremost is our connection with Source through a type of and series of affirmations, which eventually be called soaring affirmations. And so we can use the mind to its highest possibility. And that's a relatively inexpensive program, has 100% money back guarantee. It's a great way to build an audience, and I can show people something very, very specific and very interesting that I don't think you're going to find anywhere else on the planet. And that's found at visionarieslab.com, VisionariesLab, lab, all one word, .com. You can also find it at coreresonance.com/visionarieslab. And I get into, there's a document called the Trilogy, which explains Core Resonance, Visionaries Lab, and the new 508 communities, which that's a third component. Gets into nonprofits and stuff like that. But I've been writing all this time. I've got 180 articles, 5 books. Website is full. I've just moved to this video. You and I moved this video, which means I can put out new information so much faster, publish it so much faster. We're going to go into the next section, I believe, and talk about how allowing does the heavy lifting. And this is all coming in so fast, and we're documenting it, moving on to what's next. So people can find me at coreresonance.com or visionarieslab.com, and I will talk to anybody for 30 minutes by Zoom. Love to talk to people.